Today on Real Radio.
Would then that imply that your salvation was destroyed when the Roman Empire destroyed the temple? Does it mean that if Jesus would have offered himself up on some earthly altar, that if that altar would have been destroyed, your salvation would have been lost? Oh, listen. He was offered up on the cross.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. It is both true and scriptural that there is plenty of evil in our world. And what is arguably the most evil act ever to occur on our planet was used and preordained by the Almighty to glorify himself and redeem his people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation taken from parts of Luke 22 and other passages called When God Prepares to Die.
You can't say that you believe in God and think you're going to go to heaven. Oh, I believe in God. God who? By the way, Christians, I'm giving you the permission now to always ask from here on out to ask people who say, God this, or I believe in God, or let's talk to God. Always ask, God, who are you talking about? What God? What's his name? The Christian can say, his name is... Yeah, some of you said Yahweh, some of you said Yah, and some of you said Jesus. Answer, you're all right. What is his name is their question that they're going to ask me. What do I say to them? And God said to Moses, you tell them this, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. His name is I am, the eternal, never being born, never ending, forever one. So we've got someone, listen, who is claiming to be God, who calls himself Lord, and by his name is Savior and Messiah and Redeemer of the world, beginning with Israel and beyond, meaning you and I too, okay? Watch this. You got to reconcile this. He's got all of these incredible names and this grand and awesome title and titles of who he is and what he accomplishes and what his name means, very salvation itself. But how's he going to do that? Does he send somebody in his place to die for us or to become a sacrifice for us? How does he qualify, that is this God, to be our Redeemer? To be a Redeemer, something must be paid. How does that happen? What can he pay? What can he do? Well, the answer is in John 8:58. Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham ever existed, I am. Jesus Christ is God come to earth because he can in human flesh, in skin, and took upon himself the form of a man, the Bible says, and walked among us that he might be our Redeemer. And on this week in history, as we come to our study in Luke chapter 22, turn there if you would, all of that begins to come together in the minds and in the hearts of the Jewish people in Israel. They begin to see this. Not all of them, but many of them see this. Why? It's Passover. Verse 7, Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. And so they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And Jesus said to them, behold, when you have entered into the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. And then you shall say to the master of the house, teacher, the teacher says that, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready. Verse 13, so they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Verse 14, now when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper. This is a different cup. Same. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man goes that is determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Church, jot it down. First point this morning, it's all we're going to look at. Verses 7 to 13, it's this. When God prepares to die, when Jesus prepares to go to the cross, he sets his table in order. This is awesome. Jesus going to the cross is anything but an accident. It is orchestrated by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God that it is happening. Jesus knows the very reason why he's going. He's had a date in Jerusalem at the cross since before the creation of the universe, according to Ephesians chapter 1. But he sets his table in order. And how does he do that? By bringing the word to life. You guys, this is vital. Then, verse 7 says, he came, and it was the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And as he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the place or the Passover for us that we may eat it. We can get a pretty good idea, by the way, what's in the mind of Jesus. You guys, this is his last few hours on earth in comparison to the last 33 and a quarter years. Jesus, his eternity will change forever. Church, get this under your heart. He's about to suffer and he's about to die. What sometimes you and I do not appreciate enough is the fact that when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, you need to understand this. He didn't ascend back into heaven the same way that he had come down. He ascended back into heaven as an absolute 100% representation of man while still being 100% God. He's the only God-man that there'll ever be. He is the one who is your priest, according to the Bible. The book of Hebrews says, listen, it's quite offensive, but it's the Bible. The Bible says you're wasting your time confessing your sins to a priest on this globe, in this world, who himself is a sinner and needs forgiveness of his own sins. But you are to go, you and I are to go to Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Timothy, who is the mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. It is awesome. Who intercedes before or on your behalf before the Father and on my behalf? It is Jesus, the absolute priest. The Bible says that God is no longer, listen, God is no longer listening to the confessions offered up by a priest on this earth ever since Christ Jesus came. Doesn't that freak you out? It's like, oh my goodness, then what am I going to confession for? I don't know. Read your Bible. He's done with it. He doesn't use that anymore. In fact, if God is still listening to the confession of an earthly priest on your behalf, Jesus died in vain. Jesus is your priest. If you're having a hard time with that, read the book of Hebrews. It's what it's all about. He's telling the Hebrews, listen, you guys need to understand, Jesus is your high priest now, no earthly priest of this world. He brings the word of God to life. He says to them, go and prepare for us the Passover that we may eat. But what in the world is going on? What's in his heart? It's an amazing moment because Jesus is now going to be introducing himself physically. He had been teaching this for a long time, but now he introduces himself physically as being the Passover lamb. He tells the disciples, go and offer up the Passover lamb. That is, they were to go buy a little lamb. Remember, we looked at it last week, a little one-year-old lamb. It was to be sacrificed there at the temple by the priest, but it was the last time God would ever honor a sacrificial lamb of this world. Why? Because the Lamb was standing in front of them. But we kind of have a glimpse of what's in Jesus' heart and mind. I'm going to ask you to jot it down or just listen to this wash over you. It's awesome. A little bit of background to his heart and mind regarding bringing the word of life. before us. John 13, 1 says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world and go back to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil now having entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Listen to his heart. This is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Passover Lamb. He loves his own. That's you. And he loves you and I unto the end. The cross. This had to be an amazing thing. Because you know what, guys? The church needs to comprehend this beautiful thing. God is not interested in liturgical practices anymore. He's not interested in shadows. He's not interested in fluff. He's interested in the reality of it all. Jesus Christ fulfills what had been going on for over 1,500 years, because 1,500 years earlier, the children of Israel, on the 14th day of the month of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, they were led out of Egypt after the Passover. Remember that in Egypt? We talked about it last week. They were set free. Free from Egypt, which is a type of the world in the Bible. They were set free based on what? The sacrifice of an innocent animal. How did that do anything? Because the blood was put to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. What does that achieve? That when the death angel came by, the death angel saw the blood and kept going. And no one perished in that home. The next day, Israel was set free on their pilgrimage to the promised land. What an awesome thing that is when you think about it. That's why it's so important. Jesus fulfills Scripture. And the Passover is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going through and inviting the disciples to make preparation, but Jesus has now come. It's amazing. Here's that portion of Scripture for one thing. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, it's amazing. Hebrews 9, 8, listen to this. It says that regarding the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle, that is the temple, was still standing. Verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect in regard to the conscience. In other words, you can't find forgiveness by any earthly priesthood anymore. Verse 10 says, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances, that's rules, imposed until the time of reformation. Verse 11 says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Listen to this, a more perfect temple for our sacrifice to be offered up into. Look, not made with human hands, that is not of this creation. You guys, it is so awesome to be able to tell you that what the Lord did for us, he didn't do it in an earthly temple. Thank God Jesus didn't present himself as a sacrifice in Jerusalem to be offered up in the temple of Jerusalem, which in 70 AD, you know, would be torn down. Would then that imply that your salvation was destroyed when the Roman Empire destroyed the temple? Does it mean that if Jesus would have offered himself up on some earthly altar, that if that altar would have been destroyed, your salvation would have been lost? Oh, listen, he was offered up on the cross. But the ascension of Jesus Christ is his presentation of his priesthood to the Father. The Bible says that Jesus is in heaven right now, talking to the Father on your behalf and mine. Isn't that great? Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you agree with that, just you can say amen to these things. It's like, yes! Have you ever sinned? Have you ever messed up? How awesome! Have we gotten cold and callous and unappreciative of the fact that when we do that, we can run to the Father and say, Father, forgive me! Did you know that the Father says, excellent, ek homologeo, you have confessed your sin. You have said the same word. My son died for that. Your sin is taken away. You guys, we get to go free. That's the life of a believer. By the way, Hebrews 9, verse 12 says that Jesus did this not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all. Bible students in here, where is the most holy place? I want all of you to take your finger, pull it out. Pull out your finger. Hold it straight up. I need all of you to do this. Some of you are just not with us today. You guys, the most holy place is no longer on earth. It's up there. It's with him. That's where Jesus offered himself as our priest. And the book of Hebrews also says he couldn't have walked in. Jesus could not have walked into that place in heaven without what? Blood. His own blood. And his blood sacrifice for you and I is eternally set upon the mercy seat in heaven, not the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones is going after someplace. People ask, what happens if we find the Ark of the Covenant? Are people going to die if they touch it? Nope. Well, does it have any significance? It's worth a lot of money. What if they find the Ark of the Covenant, which is somewhere on earth? I mean, think of that. It's somewhere on earth. Frankly, I could care less. It's dead. It's dead because it's not my mercy seat anymore. I don't care where it is. In fact, in the last days, it's probably going to be found, pulled out, and worshipped by people in the world. That's the way people are. They'll worship it instead of the one in whom it was speaking of. We're real suckers. I mean, not you guys here at this church, but humans are real suckers for worshiping icons and things. Hey, let's celebrate Passover. What for? Unless you know what it means. You've got to know what it means. Are you religious? Good luck to you. You're religious. Good luck. I don't usually say the word good luck because I don't believe in it. But if you're religious, luck is all you've got. Do you have the Christ of the Passover? And so it goes on in Hebrews. Hebrews 9 goes on in verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is Jesus, my Passover. Is he your Passover? It's awesome. Verses 7 and 8 goes on and it says there that when the Passover should be killed, it's the feast, the day of unleavened bread, when? We talked about those combined two holy days really pressed together into 1 week. The day of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, is celebrated in a week-long event. When God prepares to die, he sets his table in order, my friend, and he brings the word of God to life. Secondly, he arranges everything himself. He arranges everything himself. This is kind of cute in my mind. My mother, who could barely speak English. My mom spoke pidgin English, and it's a miracle I can talk at all. When you listen to my mom, I grew up in that home, and it's like, what? Born and raised in Hawaii, very poor. Actually, she was an orphan from 4 years of age on when her parents died, and spoke pidgin English. Let me tell you something. My mom could not communicate much, but you know what she found in her strength? And let me tell you, you want to know why it's hard for me to keep weight off? I'm going to tell you right now something very personal. The way that my mom told you that she loved you is that she would cook up a storm every day, not sometimes, every day of my life. I woke up and walked into the kitchen, and there would be toast stacked up. She wouldn't ask how much toast. There would be toast stacked up. And there would be eggs on a plate, not unlimited eggs on the plate. And because I was raised in a home where my mom was from Hawaii, every meal had fried rice. Every meal. So we had Hawaiian fried rice and eggs. That was there every day. And I just fell out of bed and walked up there, sat down, and did my thing, and off to school or whatever I did. And if you came over, the first thing she would say to you is, are you hungry? It didn't matter what you said. It was the answer was didn't is irrelevant. Have you ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? That's my house. And my mom would just shove food to you. She would give food to you. And here it was so cute because she was just about 5 feet tall. She'd go in the kitchen and then she would find an angle where she could find you in the field of view, and she would watch to see if you ate it. And if you didn't eat it, you'd break her heart. The good thing for all of us is that she was a ridiculous cook. And so we just consumed it all. She had to arrange everything. You didn't get in her kitchen. You could lose a finger. That was her way of saying, you know what? I love you. Jesus loves you like that. This is the Passover, my friend, and he is the Passover. He's not only the meal, he's the sacrifice. In a way, he's the cook. He's the host. Look, he's the dessert. He's everything. He's the one setting up the table. He's the one watching over every aspect of it. Notice that Jesus sends Peter and John to make preparations. He didn't send Judas. And God bless Peter. I mean, Peter, imagine Peter and Judas going somewhere. One's a thief, and one guy just is gifted at making mistakes. Can you imagine those two? Judas and Peter. John and John, take Peter and keep an eye on him when you go. Not Judas. He's arranging everything. And there's an awesome thing that's about to unfold. And I got to tell you right now, I don't know the answer to what I'm about to put before you. They argue and bicker, and there's no clear answer on this. Is Jesus, being God in flesh, orchestrating these clandestine events? Or are these people, who we don't know their names in a moment, that Jesus knew that while he was in Jerusalem, these arrangements had been previously made? The answer is, we don't know. We don't have to know. The answer is, he's arranging everything. You say, well, Jack, I want to know. No, you don't. Trust me, because here's the deal. How much goes on in your life and mine that we don't know what's happening? Why is this going on? How come this? How come that? Right? Isn't that how we are? What's the deal? You know what? Maybe you can never get a sufficient answer for yourself from anybody, but this I know. He's in it. He's there. And so verse 9 says, so they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And Jesus said to them, behold, when you have entered in the city, that's Jerusalem, mark it, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house in which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of that house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where we may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready. This is amazing. We don't need to spend much time on it, just simply to say this. Never underestimate the things that God is involved in your life. Why? Because things may look completely ridiculous. You may not look at that and say, how in the world can God be in that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, in a presentation called When God Prepares to Die. It's a presentation taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, a description of events prior to the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, during the recent Passion Week here on Real Radio, we stepped aside from this verse-by-verse to bring to you Pastor Jack's condensed series, Only Jesus. And we've been offering it here on Real Radio and received quite a response. So we're extending that offer, which is simple, for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio. We'll send to you Pastor Jack's 4-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Ask for it by name, whether you call, click, or write. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.